This is Advent. How many of you had forgotten before this morning that we are in the season of Advent? It snuck up on me, I have to admit. I'm still in the fall somewhere. I just seem lost, and it's all happening way too fast. But this is Advent, and the first candle is lit, the candle of hope. Hope. And I think that we all have hope in varying degrees. There's some a faint hope, some half-hearted hope, some doubting, some challenging, some hoping for hope. That's a concept, isn't it? And some whose hope is deep and solid beyond question. Every Christmas, I see special TV shows, and a lot of times there are these wonderful stories about someone who's going through some kind of a struggle, and they struggle, and that's the crux of the conflict in the story, and then something happens to prove to them and give them faith and to reassure them. I love those. They're heartwarming. They make me feel all warm and fluffy. How about you? Do you like the warm and fluffy ones? Cuddly. Cuddly and nice. But they're not about hope or faith. They're about proof, you see. Those who've been struggling, they something happens and it's proof to them and reassures them. I've told you before when I was a kiddo growing up, look, God, I just want you to prove to me, just to reassure me, so there's nobody else looking, but I'm sitting here next to the curtains, so I'm just going to watch, and you're just going to wiggle it just a little bit so that I'll know for sure. And I waited, and I watched the curtains, and they didn't wiggle, and I said, all right, Lord, we'll try it again here. I'm not sure we got all the instructions right. But you see, that's not faith, that's proof. Where there is proof, there's no need for hope. For hope is for what is not seen. Hope waits. Hope is the manger. But you see, the manger is empty. The manger has nothing in it. The child is coming among us. Linda grasped that and put that for us. Hope is for what will be. And hope is what carries us when life happens. You know, it's funny that we talk about life and we don't talk much about death, but death happens. Loved ones die. I was so blessed in my early ministry. All my family was alive. Nobody was sick. Nobody was hurt. And I thought, what about all these families who've lost loved ones and whose parents are gone? And heck, my folks were hale and hearty. And then in 2 weeks in 2013, 2 weeks, both of them passed. I didn't lose hope there, but I realized that pain of loss from grief. Sometimes hard things happen. There are losses. Sometimes disasters happen. I saw on the news last night a kid was in his house, and a young man, it wasn't a kid, I guess, and he had just left to go to the store, and a car came careening through and crashed right through his bedroom. He had been there just less than a minute before, and there was no bedroom left. And I thought about that young man, and I thought, he spoke and he said, I'm grateful that I left when I left and it would all worked out. But the news showed the photo of his house. There is disaster there, and his struggle is just beginning. Sandy reflected to me that Don will be going to rehab as soon as the insurance approves it.
That's a frustrating piece of that journey, and we understand how it has to work certain ways, but he needs to go as soon as he can go, and here the wheels of business and profit and loss and cost and all of those things have to fit in, and it's a journey. And all those are relatively minor compared to some of the ugly things that happen. There's an ugly word in our vocabulary, in our world around us. You know that world. That word is cancer. Some of you have experienced that. That's a hard word. That's a terrifying word. That's a word that chills the heart. But in coming to know Christ, in coming to be Christ's people, in coming in our faith and being here, we have hope, and we know, regardless of what happened, that our loved ones are okay. Living or dying, they are all right. They are in the Lord's arms. The saints are at ease. They rest from their labors, and they are at ease, and we can celebrate them there. There's hope. Years ago, I had a young woman, high schooler, and she called and asked if she could come in and talk to the pastor. I said, come on. She came in and she was sat down and she was crying. She was in tears. My mind went to the 100 million different things that could be weighing upon her. And she said, Pastor, she said, I want to go to heaven, but she says, I hate harp music. And organ music, she says, I just can't stand organ music, she says. And I just, how do I resolve that? I didn't laugh at her. I laughed with her a little bit and helped her know that heaven is what is heaven for you. Heaven is the perfect place that will fit you. I know a handful of people that would love to be in a fluffy room with cats and kittens and pets. I'm allergic to all those things. That would not be heaven for me. But for each of us, there is a heaven. And when we are with Christ, we know that we are at ease. God will not leave us destitute. I've continued with the theme how the world is changing, and some churches are closing and some churches are shrinking. Ours is going through some kind of a phase. And there seems to be worry that we're a nation losing faith, and there are questions all about that. And yet I know, as I pause and look at history and I look at God in history, realize that God's still working with us. We are a better nation each generation. There have been times when humanity has made errors, have made mistakes, have gone the wrong directions. But God hasn't given up on us. God is with us. We hear this in the scriptures. Jesus is saying, do not be discouraged by wars and rumors of war, of catastrophes and all these things that will come and happen. They can weigh on our hearts. They can cause us to struggle with our faith and belief and trust. All this has to come. This is part of who and what the world is about. But God continues to work through human history. Sandy read it this morning, do not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. I'm not quite sure what dissipation is. I know, have a pretty good feeling what drunkenness is. I don't drink anymore, but there are times when I struggle when I'm down, and I know that I am not alone. I have hope. God doesn't give up on us. We cannot give up our hope. But we turn to Romans, and it was an odd turn of phrase. Paul wrote this epistle to the Romans, and he wrote in it, we who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves.
Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. Now, I don't know about you, but I've built a house before. I built a dog house one time. I built a bed once. I built a toy chest. I even built a metal lathe, but I've never built a neighbor. Any of you ever built a neighbor? Mine would be very quiet. Or maybe not. I've got a great neighbor. I've got great neighbors on both sides of me, and we take care of each other. It's kind of fun to watch. And when the snow gets deep, we all end out there, and all the snow shoveling comes to a stop while we gather in a circle and kind of gab for a while. We don't get out any other time, so in a lot of ways, it's that snow that, and that shoveling and that clearing that brings us together. Building up neighbor. How do you build a neighbor? I think I know what that's about. I had a neighbor in another time, another place, and he was hard to be with. He was a hard neighbor. The police knew my neighbor by name. But I befriended him as best I could and offered him grace and honest companionship. And he has changed some, not because of what I did, but because of the grace of God. Amen? I am saddened and brokenhearted to think of those who have no hope, who have no faith, who have no church, who have no community, who have no neighbors that they can connect with, that loneliness. Who would wish that on anyone? And as Christians, we are and we are called to be those who celebrate one another and love one another. All of the others. That's a big job. It's a huge job. I can't do that. There's no way that I can possibly accept everyone. Oh, my goodness. I try. I try and reach out. I try and understand it, but I don't. But God knows and God does. God guides. Some of us were raised in the church. That is, you were born, you were probably one of the little ones like we have here this morning, driving your mom and dad crazy during the sermon. And that's okay, and you grew up, and they were strong, and they sang, they participated. So you grew up in the church, but they didn't bring you the faith that you have. You see, I can't offer my faith to anybody. I can offer it, but faith doesn't come that way. Faith comes with a person connecting with God and through God's grace. So when we see that, when we are connecting with the world, when we're around the world and there is hopelessness, we can be hopeful. And out of that, perhaps people might say, I want to go over there and see what's going on. How can this person be hopeful? And open them that God might step in. So this morning's candle is the candle of hope. Living or dying, through joy and celebration, through feast and through famine, through all of life, God is with us. And God will be with us through all time. And in this morning, we acknowledge the manger that prepares to remind us of the baby that came and gave us hope. Amen.